Tonight to the oldest book perhaps in the Bible, in Job, the 24th chapter. And I'd like to read to you from verse 1 in this Old Testament setting, and perhaps down through verse number 20. If you'll read with me from Job chapter 24, verse number 1. I want you to notice how he begins here. There's something here for us now, and I want you to notice this scripture reading closely. He says, why? And in my Bible, this is great big capital letters as it begins this chapter. Why? Seeing the times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks, they violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaf from the hungry, which make all within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they have marked for themselves. In the daytime they know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be as a broken tree. Our Father and our God, tonight we pray that the Holy Spirit shall lead us, Lord, to that fountain of living waters. Help us as the anointing of your Spirit flows down from the throne of your glory tonight. And as we speak this message of which you've laid upon our hearts, you'll quicken our minds with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that men may be moved close to the altar of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm taking my text from this 19th verse. Drought and heat consume the snow waters, and so do the grave those which have sinned. Entitled this sermon, Needless Graves. I believe in the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive his church unto himself. But no man knows the day or the hour that he shall come again. And should his coming not be for a few years yet, all of us shall fill a grave in some cemetery somewhere. There are many graves that are filled with the people who have died in the will of God. As I thought of this message, I thought of this plane going down, and again I got a letter this morning in the mail from the man that's to take Talmadge Butler and his wife and son's place on the field, stating that all they'd been able to find was one little tip of the wing, a little piece of the antenna, and a little piece of the gas tank. They tell us this storm was so terrific and so violent that even one of these great mammoth jet airliners that fly our skies, had it been caught, and these storms come up within 15 or 20 minutes and they disappear the same. And they had a satellite picture showing the violence of this storm. And when that plane was caught in the middle of this thing, he said it went the clouds better than 50,000 feet into the air. And one of these great jetliners, they said, would have completely disintegrated. And this man is going to take the place. He has worked there with Talmage Butler. And I thought, as I studied on this message, there are many graves tonight that are filled with people who died in the will of God. And I believe that these missionaries, why it was the will of God, we may never know here upon this earth. But one day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll make it plain. But we know this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And already, from the death of Talmage Butler, an entire town that has never been stirred or moved has been stirred and moved like it hasn't been moved before because of the memorial services that's been conducted there. But then there are many graves, my friend, and the most of the people who have died are filling a grave either lost or out of the will of God. In this very hour in which you and I live, hundreds of them are being filled needlessly tonight. And you that are present here tonight can fill a needless grave permanently if you follow these Bible examples that I want to bring to you. Or you can repent of your sins tonight and fill a grave of victory. The decision, the choice, is left completely in your hand. You can fill a grave tonight of victory instead of filling a needless grave. I would like you to note with me, first of all, the grave of the proud. In the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, in verses 20 and 24, it said, upon a set day, the Herod, the king of Roy, arrayed in his royal apparel, came forth and made an oration unto the people. And when he had done speaking, the people shouted with a loud voice and says, it's the voice of a God and not the voice of a man. And then the scripture tells you in the next verse how they said, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave God not the glory, and he went down into a needless grave because his heart, his mind was filled with pride. And there the worms, as I read to you in the text, my friend, have destroyed his body. The worms ate him up as he filled this needless grave. Isaiah 14:11 tells us that pride also is a characteristic of the devil. He said, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy voice, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. The Bible gives unto us a picture. If we hear not the voice of God, and we exalt ourselves and lift our own selves up in pride, that we shall be brought low. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And tonight, there's hundreds of men and women that are filling needless graves, simply because pride has gripped their heart and they're too proud to humble themselves at the foot of Jesus. But hear me tonight when I say to you, one day every knee is going to bow. One day every tongue is going to confess. When? Yeah. When are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? Are we going to humble ourselves now and come to the feet of Jesus and say, now I come to the feet of Jesus? Or shall we wait until we stand at the blazing judgment bar of Almighty God, having a fill for a span of years or a time of needless grave filling, and then come forth and bow, my friend, with the guilt of the entire world and confess that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I think tonight that the Holy Spirit is moving in this service in a most precious manner. You say, preacher, don't talk to me about graves. Listen, my friend, this whole world is filled with graves. Men and women are being buried every hour of the day and night by the hundreds, filling needless graves. Are we too proud tonight to come and say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm without God and without hope? Lord, save me. Fill me with thy spirit. And then I want you to notice, my friend, that not only comes out of the grave of the proud, but the grave of the murmurer. And I think perhaps this is one of the most besetting things that's hitting the church world today. Because the devil comes into the church and gets the church people dissatisfied, just as he's always done and always through the Bible, and gets them murmuring and complaining. And they fill a murmurer's grave needlessly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, "And neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." If you look in Leviticus in the 10th chapter, in the first two verses, you'll find that Nadab and Abihu filled the murmurer's grave. They came forth and said, "Who is this Moses that God's given him this authority? Who is this leader? And he's the only priest that they can offer. He's the only one that can make a sacrifice. Who is he?" And they began to murmur and complain. They got their incense burners and they went to the altar, and there they spread out their sacrifice. And the Bible tells you that they offered a strange fire upon the altar of God, and when they did, it said there's a fire came up from the Lord and consumed them there. They filled a needless grave. God had given them the direction. In Numbers chapter 21, God had brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt's bondage, and there they were camped. They began to murmur and complain, and when they did, God sent serpents in among them until every one of them that were bitten began to swell and die. And they came to Moses and said, "Oh, how they're dying by the hundreds. They're filling the murmur's grave." And Moses went before God and said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And he said, "Make a brazen serpent and put it upon a pole." My friend, he was carried right down into the New Testament. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Thank God. And he said, "Moses, you tell every murmurer in that camp that's been bitten by one of these serpents, just look at the brazen serpent and he shall live." My friend, was there enough pride? Was they still murmuring and complaining? Not on your life tonight. If you had been bitten and swelling in the violent poison going through your body, would we have to come and prompt you? Would we have to come and prod you to turn your eyes to the brazen serpent? No, sir. Man or the woman today that goes out for a little recreation, if he's even bitten by one of these little grass snakes and not real sure about it, and they hightail it as fast as they can go somewhere to see if it's all okay, if they can get a doctor to give them a serum or something to save their life. And yet this power of sin, my friend, is gripping the lives of men and women. And even to a lot of people that have been saved and filled with the Spirit of God, nothing satisfies them anymore. You better be careful. We may fill a needless grave. Amen? Oh, it's so easy to complain. It's so easy to murmur. And it seems to be getting quieter all the time. Just say a little amen so I know you're still there. Amen. You haven't completely gone, my friend. But we complain, we murmur, and we grumble. Oh, the seat's too hard. The air's too cold. And the weather's too hot. There's so many things that we cannot adjust. And we work and we work and we work trying to fix it, my friend. When all of the time God needs to fix it in here, until when we come into the presence of God, we can lift our hands and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, thank God, can flood our soul. Oh, glory to God. And we can wade through the snow if needs be to get to the house of God. We can wade through the floods, my friend, that's crowding in upon us. Let us quit murmuring. Let us quit complaining. Let us go to God with thanksgiving and the joy and the peace of God in our heart, so that we don't feel a needless grave. Then let me move along. There's the grave of the one who left God's will. Friend, tonight let us know that we're in God's will, and the question comes invariably over and over and over to us. My friend, repeatedly does that question come to us. How can you know God's will? There's only one way I know, my friend. Spread the old road map out on the floor somewhere. Bow your head down on your knees until the tears begin to roll, and said, "God, put your finger on it." Believe me, for 37 years, God has put his finger finger on it, my friend, and you can know where you are with the presence of God. But you see, what are you referring to? In Ruth, the first chapter and the first five verses, there was a woman that you know her name real well by the name of Naomi. And there she, her husband, Imlek and Mahlon and Chilion, her two sons, and they left out of God's land. They left God's house. They left God's program. Because there was a famine, there was a little drought, and you just let a little drought, you just let a little hard pull come to a church today, my friend, and you'll find people, and they are leaving, they're going somewhere, they're trying to find something. They said, let's go over here, there's bread over here in the land of Moab. So they left it, and when they got over there, my friends, they hadn't been there very long until the husband died, the two sons married, and they hadn't been married too long until the two sons died. And you know the history, you know the story. Haven't long to dwell here tonight, but there are three mounds in Moab today because these people left the land of God for a place where they could get a little bread for their body. But the word of God tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let us find God's altar. Hallelujah. And let us not fill a needless grave of the one that left God's will. And then there's the grave of the one who lied to the Holy Ghost. Acts, the fifth chapter, in verses 1 to 10, there had been a tremendous move of the Spirit of God. In the second chapter, the Holy Ghost had been poured out upon all of Jerusalem. 3,000 souls had been added in a day. Miracle after miracle had taken place, and the ministry of God's power was mighty. And then, because some other people had been doing this thing, in the fifth chapter it said Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of land. And they sold that piece of land. I guess they got a little better price for it than they thought. But anyway, the Bible said they huddled together and said, listen, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's take this and I'll go over and give it into the treasury and let everybody see us. And we've sold all of our land. And that's what the Bible said, they're selling everything. And they had all things in common with one another. And so, you know, today we live in the hour when many people like to put on a big show on Sunday trying to convince the preacher and the deacons and a lot of the people in church that they're really great Christians. And maybe all of the time they're lying to the Holy Ghost. They're lying to the Spirit of God. And Peter looked at Ananias and he came in and laid his little gift down on the altar. And the Holy Ghost said, Peter, ask him, wasn't that land his to start with? And Peter said, wasn't it your land? He said, yes. Couldn't you do what you want to do with it? Yes. Well, then why has Satan put it in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost that you said so much and you're bringing this in and telling me that this is all of the land in a minute? Really? The scripture said he fell dead. And Peter beckoned for the fellows and said, take him and carry him outside. They had no more and got rid of him and got him out to fill a needless grave because he lied to the Holy Ghost. My brother, sister, until in came his wife. And he said, Sapphira, you sold so much land, yes. You got so much money, yes. He said, well, the feet of those that just got through carrying your husband out is standing at the door. And you've agreed privately unto this thing. You've lied to the Holy Ghost. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to lie to the Holy Ghost. It belonged to you. You could have done what you wanted to with all Christians. Tonight God has given us His blessing. God has given us His joy. We don't have to lie to the Holy Ghost, my friend, because He said you could have done what you wanted with this. Why did you do it? And immediately the power of the Holy Ghost fell, and she fell dead, and they come and wrapped her up and carried her out the same door. Listen to me tonight, my friends. Are we trying to fool God? Are we trying to fool the church? Are we trying to fool the people of the world? You can't fool men and women, my friends, of this world long at a time. And you don't fool God any of the time, because His eye is upon you. If you notice the text, it said, why, seeing the times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him him not see his days, his times, your time, what you do, what I do, is not hidden from God, but is revealed by the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, looking right into our hearts tonight. You can't fool anybody. Why should we fill that needless grave? And then there's the grave of the disobedient. And this stirred me real deep. In the 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verses 4, 5, and 6, man that had been strangely moved upon by the power of God, man that had heard the voice of God and had seen God face to face, man that had received the word of God by the finger of God, was now being taken up on a little mountaintop simply because he was disobedient unto God. The man Moses by name. God said, come here, Moses. And he got him up there on top of this mountain, and he said, look, there is the land that I told you when you left Egypt that I'd take you to. But he said, you're going to look at it, and that's all you can do. You're not going to go over there. Because you was disobedient when I told you to speak to the rock. And there you became angry, and you took your rod, and you smote the rock, and out gushed the water. If you'd have just spoke, the water would have come forth. And simply because you haven't obeyed, simply because you've become disobedient to me, Moses, this is as far as you are going. Moses could have lived. Moses could have marched triumphantly into the land of promise with the children of Israel, because the Bible, you said, how you know, preacher, in these verses that I give to you, look them up. It said, and there Moses died, and God buried him in the valley, and his grave is not known until this day. And the next verse said, Moses, I was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim. His voice wasn't hoarse like mine now, my friend. And it said that he was as strong as he was in that day when he went out. My friend, he could have lived. And tonight there's many a grave that's already filled. And there's a lot more with their mouths open, yawning tonight for the men and women that are disobedient under the will and the command of God. Are we make the decisions tonight. It's in our hands. Will we fill a needless grave? Oh. Just because we're disobedient. Could have lived. There's the grave of the one who defiled the temple of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Will we fill the needless grave simply because we have desired to defile this temple in which God has paid the supreme price and bought it by his own blood? What? He said, know ye not? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Oh, may God speak unto us tonight, my friend. And let me close then with the grave of the lost man. The grave of the lost man. There's no need, my friend, tonight of any man in this world dying and filling a sinner's grave. There's no excuse whatsoever for any man, woman, boy, or girl tonight dying and filling a sinner's grave. For God has paid the price for that sinner tonight. Whosoever will, he gave it to us in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But simply because that pride has our hearts gripped, simply because fear comes with pride, and we're afraid of what mankind would say when we come and bow humbly at an old-fashioned altar. I don't want anybody to see me doing this, simply because of my friends, that we go on and on and become disobedient unto God by rejecting and rejecting the Holy Ghost. We die and fill the sinner's grave. Oh, how many come? How many times do they grip my hand and scream and cry and say, "Pastor, I believe he got saved. I believe she got saved. Do something about it. Say something that'll bring a little comfort and a little joy to my heart." There's only one thing that'll bring comfort and joy to the heart of men in this world. There's only one thing that'll bring comfort and joy in heaven, and that is when that sinner's on his knees with his hands up in submission to God, and said, "God, I claim the promise and the price that you paid for my salvation. Wash me in the blood and clean me. I humble myself and claim your salvation." Thank God. I don't want to fill a needless grave. I don't want to fill a sinner's grave. But I want to fill a grave of victory. Hallelujah. I want to fill a grave of peace and of power and of joy. Oh, if you're lost tonight without God, you felt that little pricking of your conscience. You've heard that little voice saying, "This is wrong." You felt the pull upon your heart saying, "Come while there's plenty of time." And friends, I challenge you tonight to come and just kneel before the cross. Raise your eyes up into that blood bespeckled a sacrifice that's hanging there, and listen at the blood as it slowly drops from his veins, and then shake your head and defy God and get up and walk out. You'll fill a needless grave, my friends, and you will fill a sinner's grave of destruction throughout eternity. But while there's time and mercy and compassion being extended to you, all you've got to do is just slip out and find you a place to pray somewhere. And there the Holy Spirit has winged his way from heaven, thank God, and the breeze of heaven blows upon your brow as he hears the cry of the penitent. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive him." Thank God, I died to save her, him, from their sins. Will you accept it tonight, or will you feel any dismay? Why? Why, he said, "seeing the times are not hidden from the Almighty." And then he said, "Drought and heat consume the snow waters, so doth the grave consume those which sinned. And the worms feedeth lavishly," it said, "upon him. And the worms destroy and eat up the remains until it returns unto dust." My friend, tonight you have an opportunity to escape filling this grave of destruction, this grave of needlessly losing out with God by just surrendering your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness to us. Thank you for the anointing of the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for that one lost sheep tonight that is strayed out on the mountainside and away from God. Oh, Jesus, will you stretch forth your hand in that moving, loving compassion that only you can do. And Lord God, maybe they've heard it many times, but may this be the night when they'll surrender and say, "Yes, Jesus, I claim your promise. I take you at your word. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Savior." Thank God now that I fill a grave of victory. Hallelujah. And I shall rise at the trumpet sounds in that last day. Glory to God with a victory shout. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. For in that moment we need that peace. We need it now. In that moment we need that joy. We need it now. Lord, we want you to move. Thank God. Oh, Jesus, that burden gripping our souls, our hearts, Lord. Thank God. Just lay your arm around that one that you love, that one that is lost, that one that is sick, that one that needs a physician to make them well, and bring them just to the foot of the cross in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Men and women are praying. The choir is going to sing in a few moments. But you don't know Jesus. You've never known Jesus. Will you get up out of that seat just as you are? And quietly slip to this altar. We don't want to embarrass you. We want you to come tonight. We want you to bring yourself tonight to Jesus. Will you say, yes, I love him tonight. I know he died to save me. And Pastor, I hear the voice of the Spirit talking to my heart. And because I hear the voice of that Spirit talking to my heart, I'm coming just as I am. Is this your testimony? Listen as the choir sings. Some more convenient day, hour by hour, moment by moment, they're filling a needless grave, dying without mercy, without God, not knowing Jesus as personal Savior. Would you accept Him? With others that may need Jesus tonight, will you come? Wend your way into this altar just as you are. Thank God, will you move right as the Spirit moves in your life? Said, yes, Jesus, I come. I come. I come. Jesus, He invites you. Will you accept the invitation? Will you accept the invitation? I'm pleading for your soul tonight. The bar of Almighty God's judgment. Will you accept the invitation just as you are? Wend your way to the altar of God. Kneel with us in prayer. Heads are still bowed. The Spirit's moving tonight, and I'm waiting a moment. I know God is talking to your heart. I feel Him. Just as sure as we sit here, one day they're going to take you and I, if the Lord tarries, to the cemetery. And the decision is in my hand and yours tonight. If we fill a needless grave, just another plot of ground, just another worm bed of an old body that's been destroyed because of rejection, or will we fill a grave of victory? Oh, Spirit of God, do it tonight. Break the yoke. Set the captive free. Let the shackles and the chains drop off. Let us give God the glory and the praise tonight. Almost. Almost you're there. While the Spirit is brooding, while the Spirit pleads for you, and you don't know Jesus, will you get up, waiting just another moment or two? Find this altar. The prayer room is open. We'll be delighted for you to go there if you'd like. But will you make a start for Jesus tonight? This is the question. For He loved you, gave Himself on the cross that you could have life and have it more abundantly. He could have lived. She could have lived. But failed to heed and failed to hear the voice of God. Bowed, and the Spirit of God still pleading. Don't anybody move for just a minute now, because souls are the most important thing in eternity. Yes. One soul is worth more than the whole world. Do you mean to tell me that you that are sitting here tonight, if at this minute that you was bitten by a diamondback rattlesnake, that you would just sit there and then you'd get up and you'd go home? You wouldn't go to the physician. You wouldn't go to the hospital. You'd just get up and go home and say, well, it's nothing. It don't amount to anything. It'll be all right. This is what we say. This is what we're doing. We're bitten by the poisonous serpent of sin. Every one of us have come through it. Every one of us have had that yoke thrust upon our neck. And every one of us have felt the sting. And every one of us have felt the burden of it. And every one of us are weighted down with it. And we're miserable. We're wretched. We're poor. We don't know which way to turn, just what way to go. And yet there is the remedy, my friend. God. There is the answer to all of it right before us. I know that there's not a sensible man, a woman, boy, or girl in this congregation tonight that if right at this minute one of those deadly reptiles bit you, you would come out of there from where you're sitting without any prompting. And as fast as you could get to the doctor to give the serum, this is as fast as you'd go. Why? God. Because you know unless you did, my friend, the life that you now have would be extinguished. But the thing, my friend, is even greater than that, because the deadly viper of sin has already bit us. The deadly viper of sin is in our, our very bloodstream tonight if we've not been born again. And yet we sit when the antidote is only just a stone's throw from your hand without any cost to you, only just humbling yourself before the throne of Jesus and saying, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I accept you and your mercy and your compassion tonight. Does it make sense?
No.
And yet many tonight who are lost will get up and just wend their way out. They'll go home careless, indifferent, unconcerned, carrying within them that deadly venom of sin that's going to destroy them into a needless grave. Destroyed by the destroyer. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's beyond a doubt that it is there. And yet, we're trying to turn it away. But the Holy Ghost has come tonight in authority and interceding at the throne of God that you have mercy extended to you and give you that compassion and love and kindness. Will you hear that voice tonight? Will you move? Praise God. Will you move right now? Right now. And before we even stand, every head is bowed. The saints of God are still praying. The Spirit is still crying. The Spirit's still pleading. Will you get up out of that seat? Make your way to this altar. Almost persuaded I'm coming to God. Almost I hear that voice. Not in vain. I'm coming now, Lord, just as I am. Quickly. 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 Wend your way to the altar of God. Christ to receive. You feel that pull strong enough? Say yes right now. Right now. He knocks at that door. Are you saying to God, go on now, God. Go on, don't bother me. Go on, God, some other day. Maybe I'll listen, maybe I'll come. No, no, friends. He's looking for you right now. Right now, he's looking, he's expecting. Will you stand as the choir sings the next verse quietly? Don't anybody leave for just one more minute now. Wait with me for one more minute. And if that friend of yours is standing by, that neighbor of yours there, will you say to them, come on, friend of mine, I'll go with you and play with you. Come on, I'll make it to the altar with you. Yes, take him by the hand. Lead him to the eternal life. Just take him by the hand. Bring him to eternal life. Finding Jesus. Almost. How about it? I will now, Jesus. I will right now. If you want to be filled with the baptism, if you want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, come just as you are and wend your way to the altar. Find a place to pray. Let God fill you with the Spirit. All right, your decision has been made. You know that God is speaking to your heart. As we sing the next verse, will the Christians bring somebody to the Lord in prayer? As you make your way to the altar, bring that life. Kneel before God. Open the door in prayer and ask God to help them to walk through that door. Thank you for your response from all over now. And while the Christians are making their way to the altar, will you come with them? Will you come with them? Will you come? Thank God. Come on. Join us. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Let's commune with Him.